Welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. I'm Nathan Dagan, leader of the tech team here at Lighthouse. We hope that this message speaks to you powerfully.
First one is, what do you want to have accomplished in your life? Or what do you want to accomplish in your life? And so, is the first question. I think all of us, there's certain things, regardless of our age, if we're younger, we have things that we're looking forward to and or to doing. Sometimes that, as if we're getting a little bit older or middle age, it's like, okay, I want to get some of those things done that I thought that I would be getting into. And if you're older, like me, it's like, okay, have I accomplished some of the things that I had set forth to do? Have things been done in my life? So just quickly, is there anybody that has some goals or things they say, man, so I'd like to have this done, or I'd like to do this before the Lord returns? Anyone? Yeah, Alicia. You want to be on the road? Yeah, good stuff. All right, good for you. Yeah, I want to see you on the road as well. Not just on your bike, but on the road. Good stuff. Peter. So just to be chosen. Hey, brother, you are chosen already. You are chosen by the Lord. Absolutely. Allison. Okay, so order in your life and going through struggles or whatever, just want to get things in order. Good. Someone else tonight? Say, hey, this is what I'd like to get done, or this is what I'd like to do or have happen. Yeah, Sarah. You'd like to have a family. Okay. That's a wonderful desire. To have a family, which means to have a husband, and then to have children. Yeah, absolutely. It's for sure. Yeah, Abby. To go to Jerusalem. Interesting. There is a day coming where we will be going to Jerusalem. Absolutely. That's where the Lord is going to rule for 1,000 years with King David. I can't wait to meet King David, too. And so he's going to rule over Israel, and Jesus is going to rule over this entire earth for 1,000 years. And it says that we will rule with them with different things. So, or different places, who knows, maybe here in Niagara Falls, so, or in Chippewa, or wherever. So I just thank the Lord. These are good things to accomplish in your life and or beyond. The next two questions, I want to just, I'll give them, shoot them out there. The season, we are in a new season, and we've seen the changes. There's something amazing about Niagara Falls, living in this area in Canada. We see four distinct seasons, which is not seen in other places of this world. They just have like a dry season and a wet season. Or they have like in Hawaii, it's basically 80 degrees Fahrenheit every single day, like 27, 28 degrees, and it doesn't fluctuate. It just stays around the same, whether it's wintertime or summertime, it basically stays around the same temperature, which is kind of cool. So that's, we have seasons. And the season that we have ahead of us as individuals, what season do we have ahead of us as individuals? What season do we have ahead of us as a church? So this is a question that we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we get into a bit of a rut, and or we're just saying, oh, this is the season that I want to be in. I just want to be in summer all the time, or whatever. My wife and I were talking about seasons, and she says, you know what, I actually love fall. The only problem about fall is this, and she says, winter's coming. So she said, I love fall if it wasn't for winter ahead. So part of it is, the different seasons of our life. What season do we have ahead of us as a church? Now, having said that, I want to take time to pray for the women's conference coming up this weekend. It's entitled, the emphasis and focus is Revive and Release, Empowered for the Season Ahead. So this is the theme of the ladies' conference. And again, if you're not signed up to be a part of that this weekend, or even say, I can't come on Friday night, or I can't come on Saturday at whatever time, be there. Be there for a part of it, whatever part you can be. So Revive and Release, Empowered for the Season Ahead. So I don't want to get into too much regarding that. I want to pray more, but I just want to go through a few things regarding Jesus' life. I want to talk about Jesus' life a little bit today. And in Luke chapter 2, if you can turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 41, and let me know, it's given what age he is, all right? So it says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So this would be in around April when we have our Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection, the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, how old was Jesus? 12 years old. And I think the closest to Jesus age-wise at this point is Noah. How old are you, Noah? He's 11. So Jesus was your age when he went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So can you imagine his parents? It's like, hey, where's Jesus? He's only 12 years old. He's not. And so they were figuring, hey, he's with the caravan. We're heading out of Jerusalem. So it's good. He's with, you know, Aunt Elizabeth or whoever. So maybe Jesus is with his cousin once removed, John the Baptist. I don't know. But they weren't too concerned until after that first day. And so they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And now so it was that after 3 days... 3 days. It'd be like, Jesus, what did you do after the first? Where were you staying the first night and the second night? Where did you have lunch? Did you have breakfast? Did you have supper? It doesn't say anything other than the fact that he was missing for 3 days. So they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, Jesus, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. We've been stressed. Jesus, why did you do this to us? And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So there was this season of his life, even as a 12-year-old boy, son of Mary, and his, some might call him a foster father, Joseph. It says he was subject to them. So a few things. Let me ask this question. Do you think that at this point, that Jesus, at 12 years of old, that he knew that he was the Son of God? What would you say? How many would say, yes, he knew? Put up your hand. Okay. How many say, no, he didn't know? All right, you're right. He knew that he was the Son of God. It says, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? What was Joseph's career, or who was Joseph? What was he? He was a carpenter. So some say that he I don't know, was it last year, saying that he was not just working with wood, but with stone. So either way, Joseph was a carpenter. So he recognized that he was the Son of God at this season of his life. What was his purpose while here on earth? Do you think at 12 years of age, do you think that he perhaps knew that he, one of the reasons that he was here was to die on the cross? Possibly. He possibly knew that. But we recognize this, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. So in his intellect, the things that he knew, there was an increase in his wisdom and also in his stature. Basically, he was getting taller. He was growing physically. And he was increasing in favor with God and men. So an interesting thing about this season that Jesus was in, that there was growth in him spiritually, and in every area of his life, there was growth that was taking place. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for this example that you would be to us as the Son of God, recognizing that there's a maturing in his life. It's interesting. He also recognized, regarding his parents and his relationship with his parents, what does it say here in this passage that I read? Just after he was missing, his AWOL for 3 days, what does it say about him as he continued to grow regarding his relationship with his parents? He was subject to them. What does that mean? Obedient. He was submitted to them. So this aspect of honoring his parents, obeying his parents, Jesus, as he got older and older, he was subject to them. He listened to his mother and his earthly father. He listened to them, and he honored them. At what point did he begin his ministry? How old was he when he began ministry? 30 years of age. Is there anything that's mentioned between the time that he was 12, other than this passage here, 12 and 30? What did Jesus do? That's like 18 years of his life. Like, we know that he ministered for 3.5 years, but this thing of 18 years, what do you think that he was doing at that point? What were some things that he was doing? We know that he was doing. He was helping his father as a carpenter, and he's not just helping his father, but what else would have been happening during this process of being around his father and his father's I don't want to say career necessarily. Maybe it was a career. It was definitely, he was definitely a carpenter. So what do you think would be happening to Jesus as he's working with his father? Okay, possibly. We don't hear that, though. We don't hear that during that time, as he was a teenager and a young adult, that he, it doesn't say anything, but we do know. Okay, again, doesn't say. All we read is that he astonished them with his questions and also with his answers. He astonished them. So they were astonished that a 12-year-old would know that much about Scripture, about the Word of God. But it's not a trick question. He was learning to be a carpenter as well. And who knows how many things that Jesus crafted. I'd like to know if, you know, the first table that he made, how good it was. I'd like to know. So he'd actually have to work at it. I've seen some people do work with their hands, and it's just like, this is so amazing. Like, I can't believe it. What a beautiful, it's not just a table, it's a piece of art. And it's just a table. Back then, they didn't have chairs. I'm wondering, I guess if you watch The Chosen, Jesus was the one that invented chairs. I don't know if you caught that episode early on, that he made a chair and saying, hey, this could work, right? So anyways, again, we don't know if he invented the chair or not, but definitely he was involved with his father and so had learned the things that his father, Joseph, his earthly father, taught him. Now, does anybody know, and I always wondered why Jesus didn't start his ministry earlier. Why didn't Jesus start his ministry at, like, there's a lot of people that already go into ministry in their teens, in their 20s. They're already doing ministry. How many of you are 20 and doing some sort of ministry within the church? You're in your 20s. Anybody? Okay. Yeah, Felix, Daniel. How many of you wished you were 20 again? Okay. Only one, a few of you. Okay. Yeah, I remember 20. I already involved in ministry. Both of you young men are already involved in ministry in your 20s. Why do you think that he didn't start ministry earlier? What do you think, Logan? Okay, so that all the characters of the story could come together, okay? In the time of that he was to begin ministry, sure. What do you think? Okay, so he had to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So we know that that was happening. There was an increase of that. So there came a point where, there was enough wisdom. There's one thing that struck me regarding this season of Jesus' life as a young adult. Yeah, Monica? Sorry? That was God's timing? Yeah. I'm sure it was God's timing, but there was something else that was way more, in my mind, was more a possibility. Sorry? Taking care of his family. We don't know when Joseph died. It doesn't say when Joseph died, but Joseph is not mentioned after the early parts of Jesus, his birth, and at 12, we knew that he still was alive, but we don't know when he passed away. Yeah, Monica? Okay. That he wasn't, or he was? At what point? At 30 years of age. We don't know that. That could be a possibility. The Jewish tradition. Because I know that Mary, there was no way that she was 30 when she had Jesus. She was probably like 15 or 16. I heard somebody that, they got married when they were very young, in their teens. And anyways, to be married at 15 or 16. So the reason that I tend to lean towards Glenda said was that when Jesus hung on the cross, what did he say to John? So John was the only one of the disciples that was at the cross. And he was with who? Sorry? That John would take care of his mother, Mary. This is while he's hanging on the cross, dying. He's saying, John, you make sure you take care of my mother. So if that was the case, part of it would have been as well, hey, listen, need to take care of my brothers and sisters. So we know that there was at least 6 siblings. So in Matthew chapter 13, let me just see. Okay. This verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from them. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, or Joseph Jr. would have been another thing, Joseph or Joseph Jr. Simon and Judas, also Jude, who wrote Jude, and James wrote the book of, or the letter of James, and his sisters, are they not all with us? So we know that he had at least 2 sisters, 4 brothers, 2 sisters at least. Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him, or they didn't really acknowledge him because they're saying, it's just Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. But here, we recognize that Jesus had 6 siblings. I truly believe that he would have taken care of them. I cannot see Jesus. Joseph, say Jesus was 16 when he when Joseph died. I'm just surmising, don't quote me on that. But just say it was. At 16 years of age, he would have been having to help Mary take care of the siblings that probably at that point all of them would have been born, all right? So all 6 would have been born. So if Jesus was 16, the youngest one would at the very least, if there was a baby born every year, and there probably was a little bit of a gap, his youngest sister would have been 10 years of age. So it's like, I'm going to stay at home to take care of my siblings and help my mom. To me, it's like the character of Jesus Christ, this season of his life. Jesus, when he began his ministry, a new season began. It says in Mark 1, verse 9, it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If anybody says that Jesus was not the Son of God, and I know that the Muslims don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They don't believe in the Trinity. But you can use this passage. It says, in the Gospels, and they believe in the Gospels, it says in different places it talks about Jesus being the Son of God. And he said it himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we see as he was baptized in water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him, or Jesus saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So what help did Jesus have in this new season of his life as he began ministry, the season that was ahead of him? What help did Jesus have? Sorry? Had the Holy Spirit. He was doing the will of the Father in that his Father was well pleased with him. You're doing the right things. So as you begin this new season of your life, you're doing the right things. Are you doing the right things in this season of your life? Are you doing the right things? Is there a growth? Is there a change perhaps in the season of life that you have? Or as you're looking forward, you recognize you're heading into a new season. Is the Holy Spirit there? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to help you in your life? Is there an evaluation of you before the Father? It's like, this is my son or this is my daughter. I am well pleased with you. How can we get into that position of pleasing the Father? How do you think you would please the Father, your earthly Father? I don't know what kind of father you may have, but I know my father was a good father. It was not perfect, but he was a good father. And I know what pleased my father, my earthly father. What do you think? What pleases our earthly father? What are some things? Sorry? Listening. Being obedient. So there's this aspect of submission. We submit to our Heavenly Father. What else? So that we have the submission part. What else is there when it comes to pleasing your earthly Father? So showing love. What else? Yeah, Felix? Gratitude. So love, gratitude. What are these apart? Like, what is that when it comes to our nature and character? So we have listening is this aspect of submission, but this aspect of loving, of having gratitude, what is that part of? Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Sorry, to carry on in the faith. Yeah, that I'll tell you right now, for those of you that may have a son or a daughter that is serving the Lord, what joy it brings your heart. And if there's one that maybe is not, it's like, oh, there's a grieving. Your heart and your desire is to follow, is to be in the right place in your faith, to follow the faith of your Father, as he serves the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. This aspect, I would say, is part of it is attitude. I know faith would be it would be different, but this thing of attitude, our attitude towards our parents, there's this aspect of respect and honoring our parents. I'll tell you, whether you're saved or you were a part of or you're not saved while you were growing up and you're still in your parents' home, I'll tell you right now, if you honored and obeyed your parents, you would already have the blessing of your parents, even if they were not believers. For the most part, there would be a blessing on you. Listen, like I think about our daughters, they never had an age that we said, you know what, you can't go out or whatever until you're 16 or until you're 18 or whatever. Never put that on them. But I think part of it was the fact having three daughters that Rochelle, Alicia, and Jacqueline had very good relationship with their mother, and they had very good relationship with their father. So the time that I spent with them one-on-one, so sometimes as all three, but oftentimes just one-on-one, and so they knew that their father loved them, I would say that helped and shielded the girls from saying, you know what, I need to have somebody to love me. They knew their father loved them. And so they didn't need to be chasing after boys to have the love of somebody else at a young age. Like sometimes it's like girls are like 12, 13, 14 years of age. They're already going after boys because there's no father in the house. There's nobody to love them. I just want somebody to love me when it comes to girls. But all to say, this thing of our attitude, the honoring of our parents, the obedience, and the attitude of to honor your parents. And so this season, there was an honoring and an obedience to the Father, His heavenly Father, His earthly Father, and His heavenly Father. And so His Father was pleased with Him in this new season of His life. Not to say He wasn't before, but it was a new season as ministry started, all eventually ending off at the cross. And so the Holy Spirit, the other part, if I would have said, hey, who else was involved in Jesus' life in this new season of His life, was the Holy Spirit. It says that He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon Him like a dove. So part of it, regarding the season ahead of us, and I love this theme that the women have this weekend. Be like, I can't wait to hear from Julie as to the different sessions that the women are going to be having. But empowered for the season ahead. If we want to revive and come to life, and if we want to be released to say, yes, that I can do things for the Lord, that I would be empowered for that season ahead. The season moving forward, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. So there was an empowering of Jesus, and there was an empowering of Him even to overcome Satan. It's interesting that the very first thing that happened, it says in verse 12, Mark 1:12, it says, immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness, and He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to Him. And so here the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness, and he came face to face with Satan himself at the very beginning. And there was this interaction back and forth between Jesus and Satan, and there was a tempting by Satan of Jesus. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit led Him into this time and this place of 40 days that He was fasting, and He led knowing that Satan would show up. And yet God was with Him. The Holy Spirit was with Him even in the moment, in that time. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. Basically, the season is here now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So He was empowered. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus to empower Him to overcome Satan, to empower Jesus for ministry in wisdom and in power. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus to minister life to others. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus to bring Him to the cross, to bring Him right to the cross. And 3.5 years later, Jesus would be at the cross. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So He came in the flesh, in the likeness of man, and He became a bondservant, a willing servant of God, His heavenly Father. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It was no surprise. Jesus was led to the cross. It wasn't like, oh no, what are we going to do? He's going to the cross. Oh no, is he going to survive? This is what we may have seen as humans, but not from the perspective of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading him right to the cross. Jesus went willingly, and it was part of their plan before time began that he would go to the cross. Because in it, we have life. We have life. We have eternity ahead of us because of what Jesus did for us. So, to revive and release for the season ahead of us, empowered for the season that is before us. We have only a few weeks left, really, before we start a new year. How many of you can believe that this year is almost over? It's like, I can't believe this year is almost over. It's like, we're almost going to be hitting November, and we have like eight, nine weeks left at that point. It's like, wow, this is crazy how quickly this year has gone by, and the season, even the season that we have coming up, the different things like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that message spoke to you powerfully. Check us out online at lighthouseniagara.com, where we live stream every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless.